both some good points about it. Might bring some bad. You don't, you still got neighbors that will help you. I'll tell you a little episode. I had a stroke 3 years ago, 2 years ago. And I wanted to build a garage out here in the back. Sangler bought me a pickup and I wanted to build a Sangler car garage. And I couldn't do much myself, but I got my neighbor, my brother-in-law, was a good carpenter, and he came and helped. And I could do some, standing on the ground, nailing the boards up and holding them, cutting some of the lumber. But when it got to the roof and the rafters, I couldn't do anything because I just couldn't get up there. And my neighbors helped me. One neighbor down the road, he's the best you ever seen. He came up and helped me, and of course my boy helped. I had three or four different people that came in and helped and got the building finished. And it was mostly free labor. Now that reminds me of the church that we have in this community. It was built in 1950. And we had one hired man in the building. It was paid for, built and paid for, with one hired man. And that was the one carpenter. And he was paid, everything else was free labor. Of course, now we did have a brick mason was hired, but that was the only hired people man. And everything else was donated. The lumber was donated, the labor was donated. And that building was built for about, was 1950, built for about $14,000, and the same building now would cost you close to $100,000, I think.
Now, what about family life? Do you think some of the principles that you had as a child have changed?
I'm afraid they have. But I look at the young people nowadays, they're so prone to criticize the youth, but there's a lot of good, fine young people coming along, and I guess as you get older, things look different than they used to. I don't know if the young people are any worse today than they have been at all. But I do think we got more respect. We had more respect for our elders back when I was growing up than you see now. I don't think we respect age as much as we used. That was a must. You had to respect age when I was growing up. You didn't dare insult an older person. You see very little of that today, but all in all, I don't suppose there's been too much of deterioration in youth except for drugs. Mm-hmm. A big problem now. But we had our problems too. We've done a lot of things that wasn't back to right, like smoking. He'd slip, smoke. It's like, yeah. You smoke cigarettes. That was about the worst thing we've done.
The way you talked about it when you were a child, it led me to believe that marriages were pretty stable and the divorce would be unusual when you were young. Is that true, or did I misunderstand?
Divorce, well, my wife and I married when we was 18, so I was told that was too young. And I think it was, but We realized that we were young, and I think people didn't have, once you made a commitment, you had to stick to it. You didn't have as much choice now, as much freedom as you had, as we had. You made a commitment, you had to stand up to it, you had to stick to it. Now, so many ways of getting out of your responsibilities, I think, to increase the divorce rate. And people took it a little more serious than they do now. And believe in the marriage vows a little more so than they do nowadays. What is marriage? Is the divorce rate now 50%, 50%. Right, amusing now. We married real young.
I was 18 too, I think. Yeah.
Not too bad for a girl, but a girl for a boy.
Yeah, yes, my husband was older.
And my baby son got married when he was 20. And I was trying to give him a little father advice. You know, I said, now, David, I said, if you thought about how young you are, I said, your single life's going to be over with, man. But I'm just trying to tell you, you're mighty young, get married. He said, look who's talking. I had to hush. I couldn't say no more. He said, look who's talking. So, it does work. It takes a lot of giving and a lot of both sides forth work. It can work. Mm-hmm. The ratio is real high. It won't, if you're not that young when you're married.
Has the rising divorce rate affected this community yet? Or community
yes. It's several cases out in this community. Yeah, one too many, but we have several cases of it. But you're getting a different group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, it's not the people that talk. It's farm oriented, you know.
Oh.
People that move in. We have a background in country living sometimes. I think the best counseling to give a young person on marriage is there's so many things, fidelity and honesty, all that, but there's another aspect to it that I think is a good counselor always bring into it. And that's financial means of it. You know, I think that if that fails, the marriage fails. So I think a lot of times that happens, and probably that's the reason that there's such a high increase in it now.
When you were younger and people helped each other with the threshing and the corn shucking and building, if a family really got in difficult financial straits, a crop didn't come in or something, would the neighbors be able to help? Is there a way of helping?
Oh, yes. And, maybe it wasn't as quite well organized as it is now. I think in this community, there's more respond to that now, and so much better organized. Than it used to be, but as far as a one-on-one situation, nobody would let another person go hungry as long as you had any food. I know it was our privilege to help some people that had a family that had a hard time, and my mother would help them with the meals, you know, take them food, vegetables, stuff that we had, but that's one thing, we didn't have much, but we always had plenty of food. And there were very few people knew what hunger was, lived in the country, because mm-hmm. you could provide for yourself. It wasn't the best in the world, but it was wholesome food. And you had to work a little bit to earn it, but we always had plenty of food. And you wouldn't let the neighbors suffer. But now we've got the community services, you know, like we have a community building and we have put a benefit supper on. We wasn't well organized back
mm-hmm.
in the horse and buggy days. You couldn't do that. Or didn't do it because it was just a little bit harder to get together. It's simple enough now. You can have a community supper, you can have a benefit supper. We've had quite a few in this community for raise funds for people that have misfortune.
Mm-hmm. Does that, when you were talking, I was thinking it sounded to me like that would assist a family in more than just material ways, that if you could help them out over difficult times, it would help them as a family.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's part of what went on?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
You mentioned too that some of these principles were talked about in sermons a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of thing would he talk about being honest? Or?
Yeah, that was, and I can remember. I can remember when if you didn't toe the line, you was subject to be thrown out of the church.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No.
And I think that's a little extreme, but if you had a fight or fell out with your neighbor, they'd have a hearing. And you could
In the church?
In the church. And you could be turned out of church. I remember one episode that happened in this community. And if you didn't apologize and ask for forgiveness from your fellow man, your neighbor, whoever you fussed with, they would, if you didn't admit that you were sorry it happened and apologize during the hearing in the church, they would ask you to be removed. That's, younger people can't believe such as that went on.
No, I don't believe
it. Huh? But that happened. I don't remember that. And, preacher usually led the hearing, so you know he would preach some strong sermons on the behavior of people.
Well, were there other kinds of behaviors that were forbidden outside of God? Drinking, I guess.
Drinking, if you were, yeah. That was one of the things, if you were drinking. It used to be the dancing would get you in trouble in the church.
My grandpa's
especially drinking. If you were drinking, got a little too much, and you were reported, you was in trouble. But I don't think there was probably as much drinking then as there is now. I know it was probably worse in some instances. It wasn't any such thing as a social drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God was, you know, mm-hmm. not at all. You see, the teetotaler on our side. Just about.
The community now, are there, that's going to be a funny question, how would you get yourself sort of thrown out of the Cane Creek community now? What would you have to do that really cut you off from your neighbors? Anything?
I don't know. No, I don't think it's anything you do to be thrown out now, like once was. I doubt whether it's anything much you can do to even get reprimanded by anybody now. I think everything goes now.
How does the community settle little squabbles?
Well,
they must still happen, I guess.
They happen, but they're kept quiet, you know. I'm sure their family squabbles, but they keep it quiet. They don't talk it, you know. Don't let it get out of hand. And I don't really believe there's any family squabble as it used to be. If it is, like I said, it's kept quiet. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's been a lot of family feuds in this community. It's right strange to fight one another, maybe, and have a family fuss, but keep it in the family. You know? Mm-hmm. If an outsider was coming in and say, you might have a fuss with this, your brother today, and a fight with him, but you didn't, nobody knew it. But tomorrow somebody come along and jump on that brother, you'd be the biggest one fighting to protect him, you know.
Is that the way it was when you were young?
Yeah, that's exactly the way it was. You fight one another and then you fight for each other.
Yeah.
Somebody would say something about one of them. I know it, my brother and I was just like that. We'd fight each other and fuss with each other, but nobody else but my fuss with me or him, either one. We'd have both of us contend with.
Do you think that's changed, or do you still see that?
No, I think that's to a great extent still exists.
Mm-hmm.
I think brothers will take up for brother, sister for sister. That's changed a lot.
Did the preacher quote the Bible a lot? Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. The old preacher, we had the same preacher for 16 or 17 years. He was the first one I can remember. And I believe he left when I was about 12, 14 years old. And I think he was there before I was born. And he was a pretty strong preacher. I know when I was about 8 or 9 years, 10 years old, maybe, my brother next to me was, we'd ride our bicycle to church. And the roads weren't paved in, you know, like dusty.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one particular time, we was late getting there, and we had on white pants, and they got this red with red dust. And we knew that our mama and daddy would really give us a thrashing if we missed church. So we got within hearing distance, and that wasn't too close. I mean, we were pretty good ways from the building. I don't know if we get there. We could sit outside and hear the preacher preach. That's how loud he preached. So that's the only thing saved us. We told Mama word for word what the preacher said.
She knew you'd been there.
So she knew we'd been there. It was a shame to go inside because it was dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a pretty strong preacher.
You mentioned that that's changed a lot lately. You said you don't emphasize so much the judgment.
I don't think that there's more emphasis put on love now than is judgment. I think that's where the change comes.
Is God's love?
God's love instead of judgment. I think the modern ministry now dwells on that more so than you do, and they may be right, I don't know. You don't get that hellfire and damnation preaching like you.
I visit a lot of churches and I don't hear it very much.
Well, still some of them around that scream and hollers, but that's not necessary. I thought that a long time that was necessary, but that's absolutely unnecessary. And I think the new preachers, the young preachers especially today, going along the line and doing the judgment part, preach so much. But you do, it's your own love of the judgment.
Well, if you were called upon, let's say, to address the young people in this area, the teenagers, or let's say there's a Sunday school class or something, and you were invited to tell them what you thought was most important for them to know, what would you say to them?
Well, I think I would emphasize, I think the basic thing, the very, from what everything else flows from, is honesty. And if you're honest, basically honest, I mean, then you that's your foundation, your life, then I think everything else falls into place. But if it's deceitfulness or anything else, anything that's not honest and true, I think that's everything else is likely to come out of a dishonest being, you know. I think, well, it's just like Proverbs, it says, keep thy heart with diligence for out of, keep, what is it now? I can't.
We have to get out of Bible.
Huh?
We have to look it up.
That's, keep thy heart. In other words, out of the heart comes the issues of...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, out of the heart comes the issues of life. Keep the heart with all diligence, because out of it comes the issues of life.
There,
that's it. And that's what it is. I don't forget what verse it is in Proverbs, but how that relates to me right back to the basic honesty part, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're basically honest, then the other issues will flow from that. And I think that would be thing that I would try to stress to a young person. Don't, you know, be honest, straight forward about anything.
Well, thank you. Anything else you'd like to tell me tonight?
No, I
just about covered it, haven't
we? I hope that